need my notes, aren't I? Well, come on in, everybody. Go ahead and find your seats. I got a fun thing to start out with here. Come on in. Thank you, guys. Cool, cool. Be sure to be praying for Claire. Oh, no, I forgot her new last name. Buckner. Claire Buckner. She should be delivering here in a week or two. So be praying. She's really hoping to be able to do that naturally without the Pitocin. So you can be praying for her and that, a safe delivery. They get the blood thinners all right, just that she's whole and healed in the name of Jesus. So, amen. That's right. Okay, so before we jump into the message, I was wondering if Ron and Frank and Doug, for those of you who don't know, these are our elders here at the church. I wonder if you guys would come on up. I need your help for something important. Last week, we had a new members class, and let's see, we had... Oh, hey, could you bring the oil? I gave two of you guys some oil. Sorry. You bring that. We're going to give it away here. we had a new members class, and we had, I think it was seven of us. And then Herb, like one unnaturally born, came later. And so I went through the course one-on-one with him. But we are going to welcome into fellowship our new members. And so we have a gift, some gifts for them. Doug, if you would give each person here some anointing oil so they could take that home, pray over their home and their family. Got some journals here, if you wouldn't mind passing those out. And names on the back, but it should be in order. And then we've got just a certificate of membership for them. So Frank, if you wouldn't mind, and I get the privilege of shaking their hand. So there you go. So it would... Bill, come on up. Woohoo! Hey, Bill. I'd like to welcome you to membership here at Day Spring Christian Center. There you go. And, yeah, there you go. And Tim Kirkman, come on up. Woohoo! Bill, I'll shake your hand. Congratulations. All right, Tim, and then his wife, Hannah Kirkman. She's been coming here forever. So come on up, Hannah. Woo! Hey, Tim. Yeah. All right, Hannah. And then would Wanda, do you feel up to coming up to the stairs, or should we come on down? Where did she go? She was right there on the front pew. She'll be back. All right. There. And would, sorry, Hannah. Thank you. Julie Sanford, would you come on up? She's a member now. Woo-hoo. There you go. Yes, we did. We interrogated her and made sure she was... Oh, here, I got to shake your hand. There we go. And then Herb Baker and Judy Baker also went through, but Judy is at Sun River. She's making her way back right now, so we're going to welcome them in next week when they can do it together. So thank you to our new members. It's great to have you in our church. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll get this to Wanda. Thank you. Woohoo. That's exciting. All right. I did, actually. I went through the membership class myself. And I filled out the paperwork. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's right. Figured I've been pastoring for, it's almost 7 months now. I might as well become a member, huh? Next week, I think, will be 7 months full-time since we moved down here in July. So just a few things. Love and respect the marriage conference. It's happening at Smith Rock Community Church. We want to encourage married couples. You can sign up online. Smith Rock, their website, has a link to it, or you can go to Google Love and Respect and go to their website. It's about $33 per couple. And then also Family Life is doing a marriage conference on March 4th, 5th, and 6th. They're doing a special right now. Usually it's for two nights at Sun River and the marriage conference. It's a lot of money. It's $550. I know. Through our group membership, if you put in as a group Dayspring Christian Center, all one word, it's $450. And right now, if you sign up either today or tomorrow, then it's $375. So that's quite a steep discount from what it normally is. $375, put in Dayspring Christian Center, and then the discount code is,
wow. And God's,
no, sorry. And the discount code is BOGO, buy one, get one, BOGO. So I would encourage you guys to sign up for that. Marriages are, they're the bedrock for our community and for our families and for our church. They're so important. There she is, Wanda. So I encourage you guys to sign up today or tomorrow to get that discount. Wanda, come on down. You don't even know. She went through our new members class as well and is a member here at Dayspring. So we've got a certificate here for you and a journal and some anointing oil to say thank you and welcome. So,
thank you.
Yeah, do you got that? Okay. All right. Great. And then, of course, the men's retreat's coming up the weekend after. So men, it's called Reload. Bobby Booth is going to be the speaker. He's a big Foursquare guy around here. And it's going to be at the family ranch where that crazy colt. Yeah, the Rosh Nishi were. They've turned it into a Young Life camp. So be ready for that. We'll talk more about it at the men's night. Okay, so we've got 25 minutes. Let's get going. no rush, that's right. So we've been going through our core values here at Dayspring as we've been going through the Gospel of Luke. And so the values that we've looked at so far, the first one, if you'd put up that next slide and click for the first point, is we value loving and teaching children while strengthening and discipling families. That's the first core value we talked about. We looked at Jesus as a 12-year-old and his parents, how they took care of him as a baby. And then the next value we talked about is we value bringing people to a relationship with Jesus by loving and serving. And that was, remember, the Jesus show and tell. We value showing and sharing Jesus. We love and serve to show people what he's like, and then we tell them about him. We bring them into a relationship with Jesus. And then last week we talked about seeking God. We value seeking God with heartfelt and thankful prayer and worship. And so we practiced that last week. Wasn't that good? I love having time to just seek God together as a family. As some people asked for the bullet points that were in the PowerPoint, how we prayed together, that's in that back table back there in the foyer. If you wanted that, the bullet points for our prayer time, they're right there. You can go through that. And I hope you guys have been doing that on your own, just spending that time praying and worshiping with the Lord on your own. It's so important. And today, our value is, put that up, providing a safe atmosphere of transparency, love, and acceptance that fosters healing and friendship. I'll read that again. Providing a safe atmosphere of transparency, love, and acceptance that fosters healing and friendship. That as we are open and honest with people about who we are and what's going on in our life and are willing to connect with them on a deep and real level, the power of the Holy Spirit is then able to go through and bring healing to both of us in that relationship. These redemptive relationships is what we're talking about. So we shortened it for the title, Healing Through Relationships. So that's what we're speaking about today. I left my Bible down there. And we are going to go ahead and read through. You can be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. I think verse 16. Thanks. Thank you, love. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. We're just reading straight through the Gospel of Luke together as we... actually, let's start at 14. We didn't read that last time. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. As we get to know again Jesus and remember who he is and what he's done, the example he sets for us, and grow closer to him, we're just going right through the gospel and discovering all about Christ. I love it. Okay, so Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus has just been baptized by John in the water. The Holy Spirit came down on him, and as he was praying, God said, "This is my beloved Son, with him I'm well pleased." And we saw his genealogy going all the way back to Adam, the Son of God, that Jesus, all the way back, he's the Son of God. And then we looked at him in the desert being tempted by the devil and says, "If you really are the Son of God, then do this, this, and that." And we see that Jesus was righteous all the way through. He never gave in to the temptation. He relied on the word. And now, all that's passed, and he's ready to start his ministry. Filled with the Spirit, tested and approved, he's ready to begin. So verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in all their synagogues, being glorified by all." I'd love to hear Jesus teach. I mean, we get to read it here, which is pretty cool, but man, someday to be able to sit at his feet and just hear a whole sermon from him in the flesh, that's going to be cool. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." Now, a synagogue is like the Jewish church. There's only one temple, but they had synagogues all in all their cities so they could get together and hear the word of God. They'd become people of the book. "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus, so he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" It's kind of the summary of the sermon he taught them right there. "And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" Now, there's a switch here that people typically reading that you don't pick up on, because Jesus is going to respond kind of harshly, and they're going to respond by trying to kill him. And so a lot of times people are reading like, "Well, what happened? Where was the breakdown? He preached this wonderful message." They're saying, wow, where did he get these marvelous words? And, you know, and they attest that man, God's, you know, he's speaking with the Spirit and grace, and then they're trying to kill him. Well, you see here, he said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Now, whose son have we just seen that Jesus was in the baptism and through the genealogy and in the temptation? The Son of God. That's right. He's the Son of God. And in his words and in his declaration, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing," they're touched by the power. They see the evidence, right? They hear the evidence. They see Jesus himself proclaiming, "This is going to happen. You know, I am that Messiah. I have brought that fulfillment." And they witness it. But then it's like they refuse to be dragged in. "Oh, no. I know better. There's no way. Isn't this Joseph's son? This isn't the Son of God. This is, we know who your daddy is. This is Joseph's son. No way." And so we see then that they're like digging in their heels and saying, "We are not going to believe. That's not what this is. No, sir." And so Jesus, and you see it throughout the Gospel of Luke, he has this ability to just sort of know what people are thinking. And so he just sort of takes the stage back and says, "All right." And he puts the words in their mouth. He knows what they're about to say, and he just says it for them. "Look, let me tell you how it is." And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" So basically, where's the money? Let's see, there is some, "Who do you think you are to offer us what you do not have for yourself?" They're looking at Jesus and saying, "You're just a poor carpenter, and here you are proclaiming the kingdom of God has come? I don't think so, Jesus." At this point, he plucks the words from their mouth, and he says to them, by means of a traditional proverb, they intended to play off Jesus' claim to offer the glories of salvation against his own modest state. They would suggest that Jesus would be better off taking care of his own needs. "Yeah, I don't think you're ready to bring on the kingdom of God. You need to take care of yourself, little son of Joseph." Sorry. And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, none of the ones in Israel, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Now, important note that you need to know, Sidon is an enemy city-state of the kingdom of Israel. This is not Israelite people. These are the Gentiles, the ones that the Israelites are fighting against all the time. It says there's lots of widows in Israel, but Elijah didn't take care of them. He took care of your enemy's widows. And then there were many lepers in Israel in the times of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian was the prince. He was the commander of the armies of the king of Syria, the armies that were at that time raiding into Israel. And who did Elisha heal? Cleanse of his leprosy? None of the Israelite lepers, but this general who's attacking Israel, right? And so these people, like, basically he's throwing it in their face. And what he's saying is, essentially, you are less worthy of the healing that I'm bringing than these enemies of Israel. And they heard and understood very clearly what he was saying. He was saying, you think just because of your birthright, just because you're born in the right family and you come to synagogue that you're saved. But I tell you that God loves the people you hate, and they are going to receive the message in front of you. And they were ticked. They said, this little kid has grown too big for his britches. We need to deal with this. We're not hearing it. Right, basically. And did you notice when Jesus was going through the prophet Isaiah, he ended with, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He stopped short of the day of the vengeance of our God. Now the Israelites were looking for this Messiah to bring the vengeance. But Jesus says, no, I'm coming to bring favor first. And they weren't happy with this message. And so they came, and we'll pick up here. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up, drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. Now, in Israelite culture, this is getting him ready to be stoned. What they would do when they stoned, typically, they'd take him to a high place, throw him down. It stuns and immobilizes the victim. And then they're able to throw rocks and have a better angle, and they pick up more momentum from the gravity. They're getting ready to stone Jesus. Like, no, we don't receive this message. I don't care what grace you talk with. Uh-uh. And they're ready to throw him off. And what does Jesus do? But passing through their midst, he went away. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is always, always in control. Right? Whether it's a stormy sea, the waves and the wind, he's in control. If it's famine and starvation, he can multiply the loaves. Whatever it is. And the point here is that his time had not yet come. Now later on, when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus was still in control. And he willingly let them do what they did as a sacrifice out of his love for us. They didn't do it to him. He allowed it. God preordained it. He accepted it. The gift of Jesus. Now this is a foreshadow of what was to come. Here he's rejected by his hometown. There he's rejected by his home nation. All right. So that's the context of our passage today. That's what's going on. The text that we're really going to focus on is Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I love it. He starts off with saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he came as a man, and he depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because everything that Jesus did, we can do if we walk in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, look at this next slide. We'll look at this connection between Jesus and the Spirit. All through the beginning chapters of Luke here, put up that first bullet point. It says, the Holy Spirit descended on him. This is his baptism, when the Spirit first fell on him in power. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And then you put up the next one. full of the Spirit. So Jesus, now after his baptism, he is full of the Spirit. And then put up the next one. Then he's full of the Spirit, and then he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So he's, the Spirit has descended on him, he is full of the Spirit, he is led by the Spirit, and he put up the next one, we just read this today, in the power of the Spirit. Now he's coming back out of the desert, and how is he preaching to all the people of Galilee? In the power of the Spirit. And then he put up the next one. This is in our text. The Spirit of the, and he preaches to them, and he says in his sermon, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So all the way through, it is the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. He's full of the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit. The Spirit has fallen on him because Jesus has laid aside his divine prerogative. He's laid aside his power and has become dependent in humility as an obedient son on God the Father and the power of the Spirit on him. And we, just like Jesus, can then be full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and in the power of the Spirit, just like Jesus. What a wonderful, marvelous gift that is. That's why that prayer and worship that we were talking about last week, it's so important, because it's when we come in the presence of God and pray and ask for the gift. God gives the Spirit to those who ask. And we need to be daily in his presence asking, Lord, give me the Spirit. Let him fall on me afresh and anew today. Jesus daily walked in the Spirit, and we need that too. Now, this next one's pretty important. We haven't read this one yet. The power of the Lord was with him to heal. This is out of Luke chapter 5, 17. The power of the Lord was with him to heal, and so he started healing. Now, notice, how did Jesus heal? The power of the Lord. Right? It wasn't just his own innate supernatural power, although he had that. He laid that aside, and instead he used the power of the Lord that was with him. The power of the Lord was with him to heal. Now, our topic today is healing through relationships. Where do you think that healing comes from? The Lord. We cannot bring healing to anybody's lives but through the Lord. And we cannot receive any healing in our life but through the Lord. If you put up the next slide, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me. So you see, it is the Spirit that brings the healing, but it's you and I that it's channeled through. Here, Jesus is declaring his mission, but Jesus is our example to follow, and his mission is our mission. What the Father sent him to do, to show people the light and to bring them, now he says we are the light of the world and we are the ministers of reconciliation. He has called us now to follow in his footsteps. So we are called to bring healing, but we have to allow the Spirit to channel it through us. And this is why it's healing through relationships. Because I can't bring that spiritual or emotional or physical healing in someone's life without being that connected with them. I need to know them. I need to know what their problems are. I need to know what they're going through. And that's true of all of us. We need to have this relationship so that the Spirit of the Lord can flow through me. Right? That's what this is. He has anointed me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's his grace. It's his power. It's his goodness. But he's called us to be extending it to people. Okay. You put up the next slide. I need to stop right there. So, to proclaim good news to the poor. So, if you look there, what was Jesus' mission statement? What did God anoint him to do? To proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favor. We're going to look at those five things one at a time here. So first off, to proclaim good news to the poor. The word proclaim, proclaim good news is the word in Greek, evangelizo. It's what we get evangelized from, right? And it comes from you, like eulogy, good word. You means good, and evangel, like angel, messenger, a good messenger or a good message. So Jesus is to give a good message to the poor. And I believe that it's talking here not just about the physically poor, although that is true. In James it says God has chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith. Those who are poor in this world's commodities learn to trust and rely on God. But I think he's also talking about those who are spiritually poor. And it's not just poor. The word there for poor, there's a lot of words for poor. This one comes from like to crouch and hunker down is the root word. And it's the word for a beggar is what it is. Somebody who crouches down and asks for alms. Someone who is so broke, so destitute that it's not just daily menial work that they have to do. They have no way to make any money. They are destitute. All they can do is beg to bring a good message to those who are spiritually bankrupt. And that's what Jesus came to do. He looked out and saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he had mercy on them. And that's what we are called to do, to see people who are spiritually bankrupt, who can't make it on their own, who inside have this emptiness, this longing, this wonder, like, what am I here for? Why do I even exist? This absence of even the knowledge of right and wrong. They are spiritually bankrupt and blind. And Jesus came to bring a good message. And we are sent to bring a good message. And I believe that as we look at the next here, we're going to see different categories of those who are spiritually bankrupt. Different ways, whether it's oppressed or blind or captive. And then we're going to see different messages that are sent to them. So if you put up the next one, the first is, he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has sent. The word sent, I'm going to do a lot of words today. I'm just going to prep you right now. There's a lot of words in this one. The word sent is the same, comes from the same root word as apostle. It's not just to throw something out, but to plan with foreknowledge, to set up, to equip and prepare, like this is what I'm sending it for, to send a messenger to accomplish a purpose. This is what it's for. He has sent me, he has ordained me, he has equipped and prepared me to proclaim. The word for proclaim is the word often translated to preach. It's the word we talked about with John the Baptist as a herald, someone who has come with the message of the king. There's no radio, there's no newspaper, there's no TV. So when the king has a message to give to the people, he chooses a herald. He gives him some of the king's authority and he sends him out to tell everyone, thus says the king, right? That's that word proclaim, to be a herald with king authority, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty, that freedom, that we'll talk about the word liberty later on because it's the exact same word used in a couple points from here. But it's this idea of being totally and completely set free and sent away. Liberty to the captives. And now I love this word, captives. It comes from to take hold of, to grab someone, and spear. So basically it is to hold at the point of a spear, right? It's a, figuratively then it would be a prisoner of war. So it is a prisoner of war, in our terms, who's held at gunpoint. So God has sent him. If you'd put up the next point there, you'd say, he has equipped and sent me for the purpose of declaring with authority as the king's herald, release, freedom, and forgiveness for those prisoners of war who are held at gunpoint. That's powerful. That's what Jesus is saying there. He has equipped and sent me, apostle. He has equipped and sent me for the purpose of declaring with authority as the king's herald. I can't go and release prisoners. I don't have the authority. But I am sent on orders of the king to release prisoners. Really, to proclaim to them their release. And you think about people in your life who are held at gunpoint, whether by their own addictions, by demonic activity in their life, by their sin, people who are completely captive and feel like someone's got a spear to their back and they don't know how to get out of it. Jesus is sending us, just like he was sent, to go to those people and tell them, by order of the king, you are free. He has given us authority to take the spear and break it. Right? To knock down the strong man with the gun. To say you have no more right or authority over this person's life. Jesus has sent us to be in relationships with people who are bound up in addiction, who are held by demonic activity, and to set them free. Not by our power or ability or wisdom, but by the power of God operating through us as we are led by the Spirit. Amen. All right, you put up the next one. Yeah, go ahead. And recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight, basically just to see again. And to the blind, oftentimes, about half the time when it's used in the Gospels, two-thirds of the time, it's really those who are physically blind. But the other third of the time, it's those who are spiritually, mentally blind. Those who don't see what the Lord is doing and at work, who don't understand, who don't perceive it. He has sent us to help them see. To those who are physically or spiritually blind, the ability to once more see and understand. To understand what's going on in their life. To give them that spiritual insight and perception. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. Jesus has sent us, Paul is giving an example, to pray for people that God would open their eyes to see the hope that's there. You know, the word blind comes from smoke screen. The root word is to puff up or a puff of smoke. And it's like smoke has blinded their eyes, and God has sent us to blow away that smoke through prayer and through his power, to pray that God would blow the smoke out of their eyes and let them see the truth. That we're living in a world that our lives are short, they are a vapor, they're here and they're gone. There's a spiritual reality, there's a spiritual war going on, that God's word is truth. Now, we can't do that in our own strength, but God, through our relationships with people, as we seek him and are led by the Spirit, he can open up people's eyes. All right, if you put up the next one, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So the word liberty, I said I would come back to it. It means to set free, or excuse me, it means to send away. And except for these two uses in this verse, it's used twice in this verse, every other place in the New Testament where it's used about 20 times, it is always used as either forgiveness or remission of sins. It's always that idea of sending the sins away. It's only here where it's used slightly differently, and I think it still retains that idea of forgiveness. It comes from the picture of the year of Jubilee, when all the debts were forgiven and people were set free. That's that picture here. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And oppressed means, the King James translates it bruised. Its literal meaning is shattered, broken into little pieces. Those who through the hardships and difficulties of life feel as if they have been shattered and broken up and are no longer whole. So he has sent us to set at liberty. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To set actually is to send. To send them off to liberty. To send the oppressed to freedom and forgiveness. That same to send as the apostle that we were talking about before. Same root word again. To send. That we are setting them apart for a mission. If you put up the to equip and send out the shattered in freedom and forgiveness. The people who have been shattered by hardship and heartbreak, hardship and heartbreak, who have experienced death and loss and have been broken by the pressure of this world, God has sent us to them to say that he doesn't want to leave you in this shattered state. He wants to equip you and send you out for a purpose. He wants to free you up and forgive you of what's gone in your life and send you out. This is the healing that he's talking about. And if you put up the last point, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim, again, to preach, to announce, to herald for the king the year of the Lord's favor. The word favor there, at first I thought it was going to be charis or grace, but it is actually acceptance and approval. Some translations say the acceptable year of the Lord. So he has sent us to proclaim, to herald for the king, the Lord's year of acceptance and approval. To come to these people who are crushed and shattered, spiritually blind, wounded, or captive, who are spiritually bankrupt, and to proclaim to them, the Lord accepts you.
The Lord accepts you. Even though you're broken, even though you're bankrupt, even though you are blind, even though you're a captive of war at gunpoint, the Lord accepts you for one reason, because of Jesus. Jesus' death and resurrection has changed everything for you, and your life can be radically, completely transformed. The Lord accepts and approves of you. If you are found in Jesus, you are approved by God. Because when he looks at me, he doesn't see my blindness or my brokenness or my captivity. He sees Jesus. And so the call of God in our life is to be in relationships with people and proclaim to them that the King accepts and approves them. This is the year. This is the time. This is the day of the Lord's acceptance. Don't pass it up. Don't miss it out. And to be that agent of healing in their lives. And we saw in Jesus' example, that's the heart of Jesus here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. When the Son lives his life and has relationship and walks with people, he reveals the Father. We're called to carry on the ministry of Jesus. Anyone to whom we choose to reveal him. No one knows the Father except the Son, and the Son is in us, and now we can choose to reveal the Father to people. And he goes on in that verse. Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we can not only thank God for that verse, I love that verse, and there are many times where I've fallen on that verse. Lord, I need your help. I need your gentleness. Please help me. I need that easy and light yoke. Please set me free. But when we can become Jesus to other people and in our relationships, offer them exactly what he says here. When I could come up to somebody and say, come to me, so that Jesus through me can give you rest. When I am gentle and lowly in heart and help people find rest for their souls. Does that describe me? Does that describe you? It should, and when it does, that healing can flow through us. You know, Jesus was completely open and vulnerable with the people in his town, even though he probably knew they were going to reject him. But he went anyways, and he gave them the opportunity, and he proclaimed the good news. Yeah, it's funny. When it says, that's not funny. Sorry. When it says later on, a prophet is not accepted in his hometown, it's the same word here for, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. It's the same word that Jesus used for this is the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to tell them that the Lord accepts them, but the people wouldn't accept the prophet who brought the message of the Lord's acceptance. And that's bound to happen to us. If it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. Did Jesus hold back on the message? He preached it all the same. He had relationship all the same. God sent him to the town of Nazareth, even knowing that the people there would reject him. Where has God sent you? But then when they rejected him, he pointed out to them that God's going to take the message to the Gentiles, to people you wouldn't want to associate with the Jews, the people the Jews wouldn't want to associate with or connect with. Where is God sending you? Where are you at now? Who are you called to minister to now? But also, where is God sending you? People who will hear. People who are bankrupt and poor, people who are captive and held in addictions, people who are blind and just don't seem to get it. These are frustrating people. These are annoying people, right? People who keep doing the same thing over and over and over again because they're blind. People who just don't seem to change because they're captive, right? People who every time you talk about them, it's me, 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 and they're always take and never give because they're shattered. These are the people that Jesus sends us to bring healing, to allow the power of the Spirit to flow through us into their life, to set them free. Not just so that they can be me, me, me Christians who are now in bondage, but to bring them to a place of victory. Like it says in Romans chapter 8. Actually, I'll just turn there. I love the whole passage. I won't read the whole thing to you, but at the end of Romans chapter 8, where Paul is just like, it's like he's shouting or worshiping as he's writing. It's pretty amazing. In verse 35, it says, Romans chapter 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love that he hasn't called us to just be addicted and blind and shattered Christians. He has called us to walk in victory, to recognize that we are more than conquerors, that even when we are pressed, we are not crushed. Even when we are persecuted, we are not abandoned. Even when we are struck down, we are not destroyed. That we are conquerors. We are victors in this life. And when we believe that and accept that and receive the good news, we can be herald of the good news to others, to bring them to that place of victory and overcoming and conquering in the name and power of Jesus Christ as the Spirit leads and empowers us. All right. Well, we got a potluck to go to. We value children and families, and so we do Awanas, and we take care of the Sunny Day Orphanage, and we encourage you guys to go to these marriage retreats. We value prayer and worship, so we do it here in our service. We dedicate a large time of our meeting every day to worship and prayer, right? We value showing and sharing Jesus. And I'm going to talk about at our meeting here coming up about ways that we want to reach out to our community this year. And we value healing through relationships. And so every month we're going to start doing these potlucks because we need to dedicate some of our time to getting together and being in relationship with one another to extend the healing power of Jesus Christ. He does it, but it only happens through us. So we need to be in relationship so that can happen. So today we're going to have a potluck. Next month, February 7th, on the Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to have a potluck. March, that's right, woo! March, we're going to have a potluck. We have there's a couple small groups that are running. We also have a men's study in the morning and a women's prayer group. We're going to try to start some more small groups in a while, not immediately, not right away, but eventually, because we value these relationships, and we want to give you guys the opportunity to start building those, making that happen. Something that we value, and it's a priority that God has put on our hearts to see people made whole, to see eyes opened, to see captives set free, and to see the bankrupt find the riches of God's grace. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word and your power. I thank you for your anointing that is on every person who comes and seeks your face in sincerity. You pour out your Spirit on them. I thank you, Lord. You are so good. You are so good to us. I pray that you would help us to humbly submit to the leading of your Spirit and allow you to bring this wholeness and reconciliation in our lives and in other people's lives. Supernaturally. It's not in our ability, but it's in yours. Help us to take it by faith, to step out and to start doing it. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, guys, you're dismissed. If you don't know Jesus, I encourage you, come on down. If you never received him as Savior and King, I'll be down here, and I'd love to pray with you. And for the rest of y'all, pick up your kids and head to the potluck.